everybody. It's Brandon Dawson. Welcome back to another episode of Building Billions. Hey, look, today I have a spectacular guest. This guy is a legend, not just on the field, but in life. And he's a dear friend of mine. And we're going to be chopping it up today, talking about health and wealth. We're going to be talking about business. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things. So I'm very excited to introduce a dear friend of mine, Ray Lewis, number 52. On this podcast, Building Billions with Brandon. Ray, welcome to the show.
Brother, so good to see you. Always good to be back.
And you every time I see you and every time I'm with you, you're out conquering and building and developing. And not just for you. You always have the same purpose and intent. And that is creating value for other people's lives. Talk about what drives you.
Man, I think it's the remembrance of where I was and where I came from and what I did not have, which gave me my desire to never give up. But a lot of people that came from where I came from, they don't have that same desire. But if you give them the opportunities, you may spark it. And so me, every day of life, I always reflect back on when I started really feeling for other people. And so my feeling for other people, family is easy, right? Because that's your duty. That's just your job, right? My mom had me at 15 years old. I'm the oldest of five with my mom. I'm the oldest of 15 with my entire mom and dad. And the moment that I realized that you're the one, nobody else is going to do it. And I'm walking around, and this is why, you know, I'm so big on imagination. Because if you give a person an imagination, something that they can image, like they can see it, then it's tangible. Then I can touch it. And I never forget one day I walked over through the side of town that we weren't supposed to be on, right? And I saw clean grass. And I was like, why can't our grass be like
that? Something as simple as green grass.
Yes, green grass. And I came back and I told my mom, I said, Mom, like, why can't we have clean grass? Like, and the obvious answer was simple. We're broke. We don't have nothing. So broke sometimes can be a situation, but broke can't be a mentality. Right? So my mentality immediately started to change. The moment she said, we're broke, I said, how do we fix it? Now you got to think, Brandon, this is 10, 11 years old, watching mom struggle day in and day out. And I'm the kid trying to figure this out and watching my neighborhoods. So long story short, man, like, it's like me helping gives my heart rest. Like, I know you can make money, right? I can do great deals. I can win football games, lose football games, whatever. But when you change someone's direction of their life, then you know you found your purpose. And that's where I think my past introduces me to my future, only to understand that my purpose is the only reason that I exist.
So you literally, as a kid, you're like, I have to change something. I always say at the why game, right? Yeah. Like, why am I stuck in this situation? What do I need to do to get out of it? Like, that's how I process. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a certain commonality with people. Instead of just being like, oh, I'm stuck, they're like, what do I need to do next to get out and get through and do something different? And that propelled you.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you realized I'm going to be a champion football player?
It wasn't football. You know, I tell people this all the time. You know, football was a byproduct that just came by. You know, like, my entire reason for even starting to look up and pick my chest up as a man is I just got tired of hearing my mom cry every night from being beaten. I was sick of it. I was like, what are we doing? Like who does that, you know? And I'm like, and I said to myself, I said, Ma, I said, look, you have a choice. You don't have to do this, you know? And then that's the first time, and I'll never forget, she said, I'll do anything for my kids. And it clicked. if you would do anything for me, then I'll do anything for us. And man, this fire, push-ups, sit-ups. It's like when you say you missed your workout this morning, my deck of cards, you can't miss no workout. You don't need a gym. Yep. You just need work, right? And that deck of cards forever changed my life. And that deck of cards, I started doing that deck of cards at 10 years old. And I ain't stopped, and I'm 48. Because it keeps me grounded. Every day people make excuses. Why I can't work out? I don't have this equipment. I don't have that. I get on the floor. I put a towel down, grab my deck of cards, and I just ran through 330 sit-ups, 375 push-ups, quickly. Hour, pump, done. Yeah. That started at 10. That is what made me say, I don't judge myself with nobody. Back then, I wasn't judging myself against nobody because I had nothing. So there was nothing to judge, right? I wore the same pair of shoes for 7 years. I wore two pair of jeans. So it's like I never had nothing to judge off. So my standard was already set that nothing can tell me I can't do what I want to do. And man, I kicked it off, and every day of my life, with my sons, I send them their workouts every day, and they're like, "Dad, like this is insane." I'm like, "That's what life is. Mm-hmm. If you want to chase something, really make it insane." A lot of people walk in the gym to walk out of the gym. I walk in the gym to not want to go back. So now it's a bigger decision, and that decision over the course of my life is what has defined the way I see life. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest people I think to sit with was like Kobe, right? When me and Kobe had these conversations, it was scary how we looked at each other and saw it. Ray's totally different. But the Mamba mentality, the no excuses mentality, that's a mindset. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a lifestyle. And once it becomes a lifestyle, that's who you are.
The level of intentionality.
Brandon, I'm telling you, if you don't get up every day and intentional about something, you following along the herds. You got to get up and you got to be ready to move. Where people fail is people worry about the vertical. The vertical gonna always take care of itself, even when you're gone. The one thing that won't is you. And we stop moving. So that's why health, for me, is like number one, right? 14 years old, I walked in my grandmother's house. I was like, Grandma, I'm not eating no more fried food. I'm not eating drinking this Kool-Aid. I'm not doing all this stuff. Why? Because at 14, my abs are so sick because I was working every day. Not because, there's two types of abs, show abs and work abs. You see some show abs, that's like, whew, can't last 30 seconds. Show me work abs. I tell you, a man who put in work, right? And so that mentality, when I told my grandmother and them, she was like, "You're gonna starve," and I was like, "Okay, I will starve." And I ate a bag of candy every day for my food for years, because I was so engaged into changing my surroundings. And the only way I was going to change him, then I started to really understand this, and a business partner really helped me out with this. He said, "I don't think the goal is to change your surroundings. The goal is to create something that you can get them out of where they are," right? Lions roam the Serengeti 12 miles or more. They don't stay in one area, right? Because they're always hunting. And their hunt is to protect the pride. Where my hunting protects the pride, but I had to leave there. So how do you leave there? You got to go to college. You got to get out of here. You got to figure it out. So me and Cole was like, "What?" And then he looked at me one day, and I looked at him, and I was like, "Bruh, nah, there's no weakness, none." And that's what I think the development of a legend, legendary, is the only thing I'm chasing. And it's not legendary in man's eyes. I want to hear the good Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's why I live. That's why I get up every day.
So what do you think with all the things that you've been working on for the, because we're going to talk about inner city kids. We're going to be talking about minority owned businesses. Yeah. We're going to be talking about health and the importance of it. We're going to be talking about wealth and the significance of that, especially if you're investing it back in the other elements. What was your moment where you're like, I need to get out in order to go create impact? And how did you, like, what was the start of, oh, I can play football? Like, what was that starting process?
Yeah, so 1985, long story short, I always went to this park, right? And I would stand on the gate, and I would just hold on to the gate, and I would watch these practices every day. I mean, Brandon, I would get out of school, and I would go over there. My mom was like, you better be home before that light comes on, right? That was the rule. And I would sit on this gate and just sit there for hours and watching every practice, literally B squad, C squad, D squad, A squad, everybody. And then on Friday nights, there's this Lakeland High Schools at Bryant Stadium started playing every Friday night. And one of my favorite players was this guy named Willie Buford. They call him Skeet. He's my best friend right now, right? And I'm like, Skeet. And I asked him, I said, one day, I've never met Skeet. And I'm like, can I meet Skeet one day? And so I jumped the gate. And I remember he was walking through, and he was about to play, I think, Plant City. And he was walking through. And I was like, Skeet. And this guy grabbed me. And he was like, no, you got to get out of here. And I was like, I just want to meet. And he was like, get on the other side of the gate. And I was like, all right. The Lumberjacks was practicing. First squad I played for in 1985. And these two twins, Head and Biscuit, was their names. And Biscuit came over to the gate, and he asked me, he said, why aren't you playing football? And I was like, I would love to. He was like, really? So play. I said, no, I can't. Mm-mm. My mom wouldn't allow that. I said, first of all, how much it cost? He was like, $15. I said, we ain't got no $15. There's no way I can ask my mom for $15. And then he was like, let me talk to her. I was like, absolutely not. You're not talking to my black mother who's walking in with all the problems she got right now. Absolutely not. And he was like, no, you really should let me talk to her. And then so fast forward a few weeks later, he ends up coming to the house, and he walks in and my mom was like, I'm not talking to nobody. I don't want to hear nothing. He ain't playing no sports. And then I went out in the yard, and I started playing football, and he came out and he says, I got it. I said, what? He said, you're going to be playing football. What? He was like, yeah, I'm going to pay the $15 for you. Boom. It kicked off. My mom made it to my entire little league and high school career. My mom made it to one game because my mom worked every day of her life, you know? And I never forget it. A 75-yard touchdown on a fake reverse, faked the reverse to him. And I went 75 yards, and I ran up to my mom, and I gave her the ball. And the ref was like, oh, we're going to need that, son. But I got the last jersey, man. Like, in 1985, I have the last jersey. You got to see these pictures of it. It's epic. The jersey was so tore up. It was so bad. And I was so proud of it. I wore it every day. Even when at home, I never pulled it off. And that's when my journey of seeing this light, of saying, wow. And then very early you started to measure yourself as a kid playing football. Oh, he's faster than me, but he doesn't run to the ball every play. Wow, he's stronger than me, but he won't do the necessary things that he needs. And that started young. And from there, this fire started to kick in to where I realized that I may not be the most athletic, but I don't know a person that's willing to give what I'm willing to give. And that started young. And this taste got in my mouth to where every day my mom, I would come home, my mom was like, boy, you gonna hurt yourself. I used to be on the floor, push up, push up, push up. Just, I used to feel pain. I used to just say, I hate pain, I hate pain. I used to just get up. And then when I started to get in high school and stuff, it turned into a whole nother different thing. Because now you become a walking threat and what you can do on the football field.
Mm.
And I became a problem early because I figured out how to become a problem. Do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. Nobody was doing what I was doing. They didn't care. I was broke. I ain't got nothing anyway. I ain't got nothing to do but work. And every position that I've ever gotten, this is the thing. Sometimes you work, you bust your butt, you do all those things, and you're still not chosen. I was that guy. Hey, high school, I knew I was, sometimes better than most guys that was in front of me, but never got the chance. Somebody got hurt. Guy broke his jaw 3 days before the first game. And Coach Grady Maddox walks in and says, my Rover back this year, which is a free safety, is Ray Lewis. And I was like, what? And I went out there and I had like 23, 24 tackles.
And that was the start.
What? Because I was like, wow, what I've watched everybody else do, I'm now doing that. But my mentality and why I'm doing it, oh man. Like, I've always took the mentality of a lion. Young, my mom used to always say, why you watch all these shows with these animals? Because I wanted to see why a lion was the king of the jungle. I never forget that. This old man sit up under this tree. He one time stopped me. He said, you know why the lion is the king of the jungle? I said, I don't, sir. Mentality. And I took it on early. And I challenged everybody every day. And I lost miserably. People used to outrun me all day. All day. Race me again. Race me again. Race me again. Let's wrestle. You want to fight? Whatever. Whatever. I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you because I don't get tired. And that's when my football thing started to kick in. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, and then I told my coach, I was like, Coach, man, you got to let me play offense, man. You got to let me touch the football. Like, I'm telling you, I'm a bad boy with this football, not be in the park. He's like, it's different in the park. I said, no, it's not. It's the same guys chasing me. And then he started letting me play running back. Then I started playing kickoff return, punt return. Then I never left the field. And I was like, nobody believed in me, right? And so it was crazy, man, because, like, coming up, it was hard because my mom, a few times, I had to give me away a few times because she just went broke. She couldn't afford to feed me. And so I lived with my grandmother, stayed with my great-grandmother. So I kind of shuffled around, lived with my uncle. So I was always, I had one bag, one pair of jeans, three T-shirts, and nothing else. Toothbrush. And that was it. So every time they picked me up, I had this one bag. Go to the next house. Go to the next house. And then all I took with me was nobody can ever take away my work ethic.
Mm.
I don't care where I go. My cousins, who was better than me, would never come in the garage with me. No, because they got the star positions. I didn't. And so football was this platform, and I saw the platform as an incredible opportunity to really get to college. And then I get to my senior year in college and I ain't got one scholarship offer. Not one. And I'm like, I've outplayed every one of these guys. Right? And that's like, so football was like, like for me it was so iffy because it was like I was 189. I wasn't 260, right? Linebackers like that. I was a safety my whole life. And the sport that changed my life while I was playing football was wrestling.
Mm.
Changed my whole perspective because it taught me one thing. If you want to do something, do it. When you walk on that mat, ain't no excuses. None. And I walked out there the first year. I went to state. I placed fourth. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. The year after that, this guy walks up to me at the Polk County Invitational, and he hands me a book. from 1975, the year I was born. And I opened up the first page, and it was my father. It's a picture with every record and the entire book. Now, I wasn't raised with my father. I met my father like at 33 years old. So it was really hard for me. Right? But I took this vengeance on erasing his name. I wanted to remove every record he had. And now if you go look in a new book, I own every one of those records, you know? So those were the things. And then football, when I didn't have a scholarship, it broke my heart. I played my last game against Jamie German, who was the number one recruit in the nation from Fort Myers. We played them in the last playoff game in my hometown, and I had a stupid game, just stupid game, 24 tackles, 150 yards rushing, punt return. Oh, man, I just went off. But they just had too much firepower. Fell on my knees. I was crying because I didn't have – my mom wasn't around. My dad wasn't around. Nobody. Like, so I'm sitting on the field, in the middle of the field. I'm like, what's next? God, you promised me. You told me. I've been praying. You right. And next thing you know, 4 days before signing day, the University of Miami was at that game to see Jamie German. They was at that game to see Jamie German play. And Art Keogh and Dennis Erickson caught a glimpse of me. That's why my motto in life, tell my kids all the time, I tell everybody, you're always being watched.
Yep.
Even when you don't think you are. Next thing you know, 4 days before signing day, I get a call. They call the high school. I walk in the principal's office, and everybody in the office is crying. I'm like, why is everybody crying?
Things like, happened.
Right, like what just happened? And my principal and Coach Joe was both holding the papers together. And they said, University of Miami just gave you a full ride scholarship. And I was like, what? But he was like, one problem, you got to be in school in 4 days. And I'm like, what the freak? I don't have money to get to school in no 4 days. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I made it. Like, I got a scholarship. She was living in Tennessee at the time. And I said, Mom, I got a scholarship. Like, I made it. I'm telling you. She's like, great job, son. I'm proud of you. I was like, damn, okay. It's like, Mom, I need some money, though. I ain't got no money. She was like, look, I'm going to put $20 worth of food stamps in the mail. That's all I got. I said, Mom, just send it. I'll make it. And I took $20 worth of food stamps. And I went to my grandmother and I said, Grandma, would you please drop me off to college? I ain't got no gas for that. I said, Grandma. My grandma was so crazy. I love her to death, but she was so crazy. I was like, Grandma, please. I'm going to college. Like, I'm trying to do something. And my granddaddy walked in. He was like, Tina, get up. We're going to take this boy to college. Drop this boy off. And she dropped me off to college, man, with $20 worth of food stamps. And I saw something totally different when I got to University of Miami. And I was like, ooh, really?
Different world.
So that's kind of how the football thing and
so yeah. So now it explains to me why you're so committed to all the inner city kids. Because if that guy hadn't funded the $15 for you,
I'm one of those.
You're one of those. Another choice.
Because I've had every opportunity to sell drugs. I've had crack cocaine put in my hand. I walked in crack houses. I went in crack houses with my aunts and sat down in the doggone curve while they're doing crack. Yeah. Yeah. And the situations that I got my in that town, situations that not only me, but a lot of athletes got themselves in. If you don't got no way out, that's why my passion is so great to bring the right opportunities, the imagination. If you give those communities just hope, just a little bit of hope. Clean grass forever changed my life. I wanted to know, how does that grass look so clean? He mows it a certain way. Wow, all in one direction, really? In a box, in a square. I became the best lawnmower in the world. $10. I mow your whole yard. I don't care how big it is. And every kid has that same dream. But the options are, I could sell drugs really quickly. I could turn into a gang member really quickly. Why? Gang members feed me. They put a roof over my head. And they protect me. The only thing I would ever say about gang life is, the only difference of gang life and Fortune 500 companies is they're selling the wrong product. Because everything else runs structurally the same way. But for me, it was like, now to see the disasters in our communities, no, that's not a choice. That's a duty. And we don't follow that duty, right? You go in every community. You take Martin Luther King Street. You go in every community. It's in the worst parts of the city. And so years ago, man, when I started my foundation, then I started to realize, Brandon, that foundation is great. It really is. I mean, it does a lot of great things. You know, you feed a lot of people, you bless a lot of people every year. You have your big foundation events. And if you really want to do something, you got to give them much more than just a few days of it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feed them. You got to house them. You got to educate them. And the biggest thing you got to do, you got to mentor them. You got to teach them. They don't know. Like, a lot of athletes that came from these types of neighborhoods, I guarantee you, has my exact same story. Because I've talked to most of them. Same story. So what made me different? I think my faith overrode everything. I was crazy enough to trust that God was so real when I had absolutely nothing. So then I said, if I can teach that. So I started practicing that. But I stuttered really bad. So people didn't like to hear from me. And then I started to go through other things to figure out a way to beat my stuttering. So when I started watching television, I would recite when somebody speaks. I would get close enough to the television. My mom would say, get away from that television, you're gonna go blind. And I used to sit in front of the television, I used to just repeat words. She said, don't do it. And I used to just flow, because I always thought, right? And all of these stories of triumph or trials, that's the only reason I'm starting this other thing that I'm starting, right, that we've been talking about, my other show, Feed the Two Cards, because everybody got a deck of card story.
Mm-hmm.
But when they didn't have it, these communities, the only reason people don't invest in these communities is because they're afraid to go out in these communities. I'm not. I'm from there. There's nothing that the streets can teach, nothing that I haven't lived. And that's why the passion for me to go back and build IOA, Imagination, Opportunity, Access. Because if you give them that, everybody won't do it, but the right ones will.
Yeah, I mean, and what drives you is you lay awake at night thinking about all those little boys that somebody needs to show up and try to convince mom and be willing to invest a little bit into, and it could change their whole life forever.
I wish I could show you my phone right now. This young kid, he won't mind, but this young kid, Chase, right before my son passed, he called me. He got in touch with me, his mom. And his father had killed himself, committed suicide in his house. And Chase is this 13-year-old kid, so incredible. And he's like, my daddy's gone. My father's gone. Mr. Lewis, I don't know what to do. And I said, look, I can't replace a father, but I can be daddy. And every day of my life, Chase texts me every day. But Chase is the same story of hundreds, just like Pedro. Pedro, my son, I in L.A. Pedro, parents gave him up when he was 13 years old. He lived in a friend closet for the next 10 years. And we met at a hotel in LA. And he just ran up to me. He says, "Your videos changed my life." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, because you didn't give up." He says, "I changed gang life." The next thing he said, "Would you be my father?" I can never replace a father, but I'll be your daddy. And now that son spent this past Christmas with me.
Mm.
That son shares these intimate things that these kids, a lot of them are like that, B. There are so many, man, that we're just, they're just surviving. They're in survival mode. That's why gang life is so relevant for most of them, because it's survival. And my job, our job, is how do we get to them? How do we supply them with the right education? If you don't have education, people say education is school. Education is not school. Right? Education is figuring out the things of life. How do you work through life? And that's what keeps me up every night. Because I got, I don't know, 50, 60 texts to get through just to keep these kids motivated. You know, just to keep them to not commit suicide, which we had one of the highest rates of suicide rate from ages 25 to 55. We had a 55% increase.
Wow.
On suicides this past year. So we're losing men, right? And I truly believe that the attack is on the man. You remove a male lion from a pride, the pride is in jeopardy. You remove a man from the house, family's in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to ask me. I live it, and I've lived it. I buried my son to stupid and senseless stuff that all these cowards are creating. Drugs and all this stuff. The kids are just trying, and yeah. It's like, you lose a child, perspective changes immediately. What is my purpose? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? We missed it. It's money. Man, I want to make a bunch of money. Man, I'm going to have the biggest. I don't want the biggest house no more. I had all that. Every time I move, I want somebody to have enough hope to where they can get up every day and keep fighting. Everything I do, every business I create.
Well, and I see it because you and I have spent quite a bit of time together over the last couple of years. I mean, you guys have made some huge investments, almost 1 million square feet in Ohio, mm-hmm. where you can cycle kids from all around the world through there, give them skill sets, up-level mm-hmm. their belief about what's possible, give them the skill sets, expose them to you and your friends and, mm-hmm. and other people who are contributing to their success. You and I are working on some programs for inner city to give those kids tools and skill sets. When you think about that move, all of a sudden you've gone through all that. You go to Miami,
mm-hmm.
and now you go into the pros.
Yeah,
and you just conquer. Like you're a madman who's on a mission to conquer.
Yeah.
If I would have met you back then, what would we be talking about?
I think it was simple. I took all sports, and I took the game of football very early, and I made it a one-on-one battle. And the battle was not against nobody else. It was against myself. And I said, at 17 years old, I may be the greatest hurricane to ever walk up out of the University of Miami. I got to the Baltimore Ravens. I said, I'm telling you this. I may be the greatest defensive player you've ever seen in your life. They was like, what? Marvin Lewis was like, what? Maxi Vaughn was like, what? I was like, trust me. You don't have to trust me. Let my work show for itself. So if you'd have met me back then, the only difference was now is that my target is different. Right? My target then was I'm dominating anybody that's going to play against me. And guess what? I'm going to lose. But I love the war.
Yeah.
Like, dance with me. Like, I like to dance, right? Like, when God tells me he can block me, you may get me. You may win. But I promise you, 9 out of 10, I'm winning, right? And now the target changed. The target is now take that same approach where I once studied what Peyton Manning was going to do. And when it was in 2x2 and the back came in motion, like, what was going to change? And that was the backside, the 3x1 screen that was going to come, right? It calculates that quick, right? Because I'm so dialed in. And now I went from studying football numbers to studying street numbers.
Yep. Right?
Our homicide rates in Baltimore is through the roof. Chicago, Southside Chicago, you know, Liberty City, Miami, Detroit. We have places that's just horrific with crime. So my numbers are different. My target is different.
But the competitiveness, because I spend enough never time, stop. It's never stopped.
And I realized,
you're tenacious.
And this is why me and you are here, because I realized when I was playing football, you asked me what's the difference then and now. I could be great, but I can't win the Super Bowl by myself.
Hmm.
You need a team. And now this on this end, I need a team. I need a real team that understands what the mission is. Right? These inner city kids, they want hope. They want the opportunity to be better. They do. They just don't have them. So building the right team is the most important thing for me. Right? That's the number one thing. But I think the important thing is to win a Super Bowl, you don't have to have everybody to like you. But in that building, you got to have the same vision. In this business that we're in now, if you don't see it the way I see it, it's impossible to help my people.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's why.
With you being at the level of greatness, who was your peer that if you could sit down and spend any time talking to him at any level, who was your most favorite, greatest person that you would talk to from your perspective? Like who is that person and who was that person to you?
Too many. I mean, I can name ones that are dead and gone, and then I can name ones that are still here. But I think it's too many because I was always looking for the father connection.
Mm.
I wanted one day a man to walk up, and I wanted that man to be my father. I wanted my father to touch me and say, I'm proud of you, son. I never got that. So my whole life was to create that. So I created that through coaches. Like what EJ Williams done for me, my little league coach, nobody could ever replace that. What Ernest Joe done for me, as my high school coach, nobody can replace that. What Stephen Poole done for me as my wrestling coach, I used to stay after 2 hours of wrestling practice. He know I'm going home. I ain't got nothing to eat. Coach, you'll stop by and get me a shrimp platter. Yeah, one meal every 3 days. I'll make it. Yeah. So, one of the men, just to give you somebody up front, I just saw him yesterday, which is Rod Woodson. Rod Woodson forever changed my life. It's one thing to tell somebody not to do something. It's another thing to travel with them and show them why it's better to do it this way. I was a young kid, a bunch of money, ran into it early. I'm in Baltimore. I'm turning into the king of the city, right? We're losing. Who cares? Right? I'm from Miami, so our mentality is different. I'm out, DC, clubs. Yeah. Back in the weight room every morning at 6 o'clock. Rod Woodson walks up one day, when we signed him. And he was like, I was like, man, you one of my all-time favorite. Like all time. So me and him connected quick. and one Friday night. On Saturday, we were sitting in the sauna, and he was like, man, your pore is leaking. Like, my goodness, like, how did you go that hard last night? And I was like, man, we was up, we went to D.C., we went and did this, we did that. And he was like, and he asked me a question. He said, what do you want to do? I said, honestly, I want to be the greatest football player to ever play football. He was like, who says that? And I said, me. And he said, well, you got to change some stuff. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, meet me in the gym in the morning before training camp at 6 o'clock a.m. I said, man, that means I got to get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, which means I can't go out the night before. And I'm like, I wasn't going to go out anyway. That next Friday, he was like, where you going? I was like, man, we're going to take this little trip to D.C. He's like, I'm going. He got in the car. We all rode to D.C. We got to D.C. at 9, 11 o'clock. Bruh, let's get back on this road. Man, we just got it. What are you talking about, man? We finna... Bruh, let's get on this road. I ain't been back since. I understood quickly. Talked to Miles Monroe. Forever changed my perspective about kingdom principles. Dr. Miles Monroe passed tragically in a plane crash, but the way I've studied him, every sermon I've almost, oh my gosh, I don't know not one sermon. And now I share it with a group of men to where we all share these sermons and we all listen to these sermons and we break down these sermons. And after we break down these sermons, we then get together and we start to share these things. Dr. Miles Monroe forever changed my life. Certain people in my life. Junior Seau changed my life. Like, because I got one-on-ones with them. Like, I wanted, what does it mean to be great? What does it mean to be a better man? Marvin Lewis. The way that man pushed me. When the good book says iron sharpens iron, I get it. Because I thought that man hated me at one time. But he saw what was in me. And I can go on and on about the people that I think affected me and I know affected me. But my number one person, yeah, is my mom. There's nothing. Nothing. No person in the world can ever display to me the strength that she showed. And that's why every day of my life, mom's got to be taken care of. I just moved there with me.
I know, we were talking about it last night. Yeah. Now you got your mom living with you.
Yeah, and every day she's up. I said, Mom, you got to get up. And so now she's walking every day. She's counting her steps. Baby, I did 15,000 steps. I didn't. I was like, all right, we got work to do. You know, but man, I think I became a sponge, B. I really did. I became a sponge because I chose to become a sponge. I wanted to study history. I wanted to know why Martin Luther King was fighting the fights that he fight. I wanted to know why Afro-Americans was always treated differently. I wanted to know. And now that I know, now that I'm still studying every day, there's a way to change it. And I'm not here to save everybody. I'm not even here to combat evil. But I am here to promote good and share love. And I think those things, man, I think even in my plan days, the question is always asked, what's your greatest achievement? What's the greatest thing you ever done? And then one audience, they was like, it's got to be the Super Bowl. It has to be the first Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl. And I'm like, nah. My greatest achievement in all of sports is that I was able to teach a man that it's okay to keep going. It's my greatest ability. And that's just men that was in the locker room. But when I go wherever I go, prisons, hoods, whatever. You know, God says that when people see you, they should see an image of me. I pray that every day that his image rubs off through me.
And I see it because we're out working. We're going to start hitting the streets together.
Yeah. Right?
And just for the audience listening to this, we've got an inner city program that we're going to develop and work on together. We've got the minority entrepreneurial program that we're going to co-chair and work on together. And then 10X Health and working with me on 10X Health. And you brought doctors to us, groups that are interested and excited to be a part of that. To you, it all ties together, right?
Oh,
the health, the wealth, the wellness, and that combination of all that driving impact into your target, which is doing the same thing for the right people that others did for you, and showing people that opportunity and that light. And for that, when I see your commitment to that and your movement towards that on a constant basis, if you're a business owner and you're a minority-owned business owner and you're listening to this podcast right now and you're thinking, because realistically, it'd be easy as a small business owner to say, I'm not getting help because.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is almost no small business owner is getting help no matter where they're from.
Right.
It's the, one of the hardest things to do, and it's one of the hardest things to be. But already, if you're a minority business owner, there's already certain things, headwinds that you have to deal with that are different than some other business owners. Mm-hmm. And you and I are working together to identify those headwinds and to create tailwinds for those people. Talk a little bit about what you're excited about when it comes to us helping these minority business owners.
You know, this is, let me tell you why this is really good, right? So when you walk in training camps, the people with the starting jobs, everybody's excited about. The people that you're not excited about is your walk-ons, free agents. Every entrepreneur struggles like a free agent struggles. How do we figure it out? How do we get it? Out of all of the people I spend time with, I spend more time with free agents and walk-ons. Because if I can develop them, y'all don't think they're going to help us? But you see how hard he practiced against you in practice? And we just gave him $1,500 to be here for 6 weeks. That entrepreneur is what thrives now the next target. How do we take those entrepreneurs and let that light come on? It's the most exciting thing ever when you can see your business. And trust me, I've done a lot of business and I failed miserably in many. But the ones I accomplished, it's because of what I had with me. And that's what I think for me, even when you talk to them, most of them are just looking for direction. Mm-hmm. Give me some direction. Once you're able to direct them, then you walk them into a room where the room we just walked out of.
Yep.
Right? The sponges, pens and pads, and everybody's on the table, right? It's like, that's it. That's the exciting part. When I tell my partner, friend all the time, I'm like, bruh, how do we change people's perspective about life, period, about business? How do you change people's perspective in business? See, the locker room teaches a different lesson. When you think about business, we can't walk in there complaining every day. You got to get something done. Why? Because if you don't get it done, somebody else is going to get it done. Well, an entrepreneur got to think the exact same way. Somebody going to do it. So you have to do it. I tell my sons all the time, stop waiting for everybody else to do what you need to do. You got to do some homework. You got to do some research. You got to do some reading. You're right. Because once you give it to them, they never leave you. Like, social media, it's the worst ever. But social media from a connectability thing, on how people can reach out to you that you touched 20 years ago. One of the greatest stories ever about business, entrepreneur. This homeless guy, he was always on the Baltimore's Bridge every day. And I saw him, and on the way to the game, it was one path. And one day, I'm on the way to the game, and I see him there. And I know that they're using drugs, and they're doing all that stuff, and they're struggling, whatever. And I pull out $100. I usually get 10, 20, whatever. And I pull out $100, and he walks up to me. And his head is down because he's embarrassed. And I say, look up. Look at me. And he looked at me. And he started shivering.
No way.
There's no way Ray Lewis stopped to see me. I put out the 100 like this. He grabbed it and I grabbed his hand. I said, promise me that you don't use this for drugs. Promise me that you use this for the right thing. That guy took that $100, went to one friend. He owns a church. He's a pastor now. He's married. And has his own business and tells that story every other week in church. If you give an entrepreneur the right direction, you give them the accountability to say, you can't do this because I can give my money to somebody else. Most entrepreneurs need to be taught like free agents. You have the same opportunity. I know he's starting because that was my story my whole life. Somebody's in front of me. Entrepreneurs must think as the boss. I stopped being attracted to players' contracts. I got ready to sign my second deal. And they was like, we're going to make you the highest paid defensive player ever. I was like, that's amazing. Great. My agent was like, why are you not excited? Because if he's paying me, I want to know where he gets his money from. So as an entrepreneur, you have to change the vision. Because if you don't, you're going to have the same problems that we fixed, that you guys fixed right now.
Yep.
Right? The everyday housekeeping problems you're going to have unless you change the vision. And most of the times that a problem can remain a problem until you actually visualize it as an opportunity.
100%. Right. And every opportunity is the breakthrough to get to the next level of success. I'm really super excited for when you and I do our first minority-owned business program together. And trust me, everybody listening to this and watching, it's coming. And it's going to be unbelievable. We have some big targets and big goals together. Now, lastly, let's talk a little bit about TEDx Health.
Yeah.
And your enthusiasm and excitement of working together on taking that to a global brand. And you are very health conscientious. Mm-hmm. You have a massive routine that you work on a regular basis, your commitment, your dedication to that. And I can't believe my wife outed me saying I missed my workout this morning. And then you threw it in my face on my podcast. First thing you said. So I will pick that workout up before the end of the day. But the point is, with 10X Health, what is it that makes you excited about what we're doing there?
It's the education behind it. To have a map, the book you just picked up in that room,
yep,
whether we need to expose it now or not, what? That's the map. Now, if every individual has that, there's not really an excuse to eat bad, right? There's not an excuse to eat wrong. Right. There's not, but sometimes you can't even fault people. But what you guys are doing, what 10X Health is doing, is who I am. I live every freaking day to figure it out. Now, I don't know all of the intricate words around the doctors and the this and the no, but I do know it makes me feel good. I know working my butt off every day changes my life. I know it gives me a lifespan much longer than expected, right? Every person in my family has died of cancer. Mm. I hate cancer. Cancer also says, honor that temple. You got to honor that temple. What you guys are doing, what we're about to do, what the exciting part about 10X Health is, in all of the years that you can, athletes, I don't care who it is, individuals, they cannot go on a bookshelf and grab their own DNA.
Yep.
That's mind-blowing that you guys are so far ahead and where we should be, right? I mean, the greater powers or whatever, we don't have that. Like, it always bothered me, like, why megastars support the lowest of foods. It bothers me, like, why fast foods are the number one industries in the world. Mm-hmm. And you know it's killing you. Well, I think 10X Health says something different. We don't want to fight with you. We just want to tell you there's another alternative. And I think the alternative and letting you see people, it's like seeing your body every day, right? And you, one of the biggest things I used to say, stop waiting for the doctor to tell you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You do homework on yourself, right? I'm O positive. Right? One of the rarest blood forms up, right? So there's certain things I shouldn't eat, right? My partner tell you, like, I gave up meat 20 years ago. I don't know the last time I seen some beef or pork. Why? Not that it was great, trust me. I ate it every other day. But does it actually maximize where I'm trying to go in life? And I think with what 10X Health is doing, if you give anybody the blueprint, then it's up to them. It's like walking in training camp. Everybody gets the same playbook. Now, who spends the most time with it? Because that's what we give them. And that's why I think my correlation with what you guys have and how the brands match, I think it's because of what I can teach based off what I've lived. I live this every day. I'm the last athlete that's going to get done playing the game and walk around with a belly. Really? I ain't doing that. I work too hard. You think I'm going to give up 30 years of work? Oh, and then the biggest excuse is, oh, I ain't playing no more. And there's life. And I think from educating people the way you guys have eloquently put it, it's a different thing, man. And I just wish more people was more conscious of not what they look like, but what they feel like.
Mm.
That's what my greatest thing is. Like, you're never going to see me walk around with my shirt off on Instagram. You know, I don't need to show my abs. Because there's two types of people. People who want to be seen and people who don't need to be seen. People who working on themselves. That's what I think I got from the education of 10X Health. And you give people a chance to work on themselves. You got to read your own book. I never forget my partner, France, when we was back, he was like, man, that big old book for one person? Now think about this. Think about how many times you see a big book and it's titled something and you're like, man, I can't read that much. I can't read that book. That's a big book. But imagine reading that book and that's you.
Crazy, isn't
crazy. It? If you don't want to read that, then life or we can't help you. You know, it's like, give me that. Like, I'm like a little kid. I'm like, I was gonna tell you enough, man. Let me get mine done ASAP.
Yeah, well, we're doing it. Right. Do we have the kits here? If they do, let's get a couple of them for these guys.
Yeah.
Look, you know, Ray, I know you got to get to LA, yeah, and you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
You and I are going to be doing quite a few things together, and you're such a great example. And the intensity, I don't know if you're listening to this or watching this, depending on how you're participating with us here on the Beat Austin. If you're watching this or you're listening to this, Building Billions with Brandon. I don't know if you can feel the intensity, but I see the damn intensity in his eyes. And this is the real guy. If he's going to do something, he's going to do it with the greatest amount of force and impact. And I promise you that the things we're doing together, you're going to start hearing about it. We're going to want you to participate with us because there's so many people that need guidance. They need assistance. They need help. They need encouragement.
Yeah.
They just need somebody to show an interest for some of them to inspire them to be greater tomorrow than they are today and to give them a little bit of hope and wisdom in order to do it the right way. And this is something that I am unbelievably excited to do with you. And I know we're going to impact millions of people. We're going to have fun doing it. It's not just going to be in the U.S. It'll be all over the world.
Yeah.
And some of these announcements that we're kind of giving a hint on will start coming out over a short period of time. And look, the way that this podcast and YouTube channel grows is by you sharing, liking, commenting. If you're somebody listening to this, you're like, man, whatever these guys got going on, I want to be a part of that. I want to support it. I want to be a part of it. I want to contribute to it. Leave a comment and my team will connect with you. And as we're rolling these programs out, if you're a business owner, you need assistance, you need help, leave a comment. If you're an individual and you want to help these kids, leave a comment. If you're somebody who's done well in life and you have a little extra money and you want to sponsor or support these kids through the Aspire program, the other things we have going, leave a comment. Get involved. It's as simple as that, because one person can change many people's lives. Mm. And you hear Ray's story. There's multiple times where people have given him the ability to become who he is today because he needed that influence in his life. And we can do that for so many people.
Yeah.
Ray, I love you, dude. You know,
brother,
that. Love sitting with you. I love spending time with you. And I'm going to love creating change with you.
We got a lot to do.
A lot to do. And I know you're going to push me to be
my best. Oh, man. No other way. That's why you can't miss no more workouts, B. Like, you got it. If we're going to commit to it, we got to commit to it. We got to live it. It's a lifestyle. It's just a lifestyle. That's why we're going to have to create some decks of cards. I'll help you out. Don't worry.
I cannot wait.
I got you.
Honestly, you can't wait. I love you, brother. Hey, if you enjoyed this show, please leave a like. Please share it. Leave your comments if you want to participate. Like I said, get involved. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Building Billions with Ray Lewis, number 52, and Brandon Dawson.